Welcome to the Winning with Shopify podcast. This is the podcast to help you scale your Shopify store into a money-making machine. The subscription market is predicted to grow to nearly $500 billion by 2025. With Recharge, e-commerce merchants of all sizes can launch and scale subscription offerings. Over 15,000 merchants are currently using subscriptions powered by Recharge, allowing them to grow their business and rely on predictable recurring revenue. Start turning transactions into long-term customer relationships today by visiting rechargepayments.com. Now, over to your host, Nick Truman.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Winning with Shopify podcast. For anybody who's tuning in for your first time today, it's an absolute pleasure to have you listening in. It'd be a complete waste of time if you guys weren't tuning in. If it is your first time, feel free to hit that subscribe button and also give us a like and check out our website as well, where we're about to start releasing some very exciting resources over the next few months. Of course, we'll be talking about these resources on the podcast as well. The website address is winningwithshopify.com. So feel free to check that out. At the moment, everything on there is free, and there's also a submissions area, or there might not be an area, but there's certainly a form. So feel free to put anything on that form that you want us to cover on the show. So if you want to come on and sponsor, you want to come on and speak, or actually if you want me to find a speaker and just share some insights on a particular topic or something that you're being challenged by at the moment, I will do my very best to respond to as many of those messages as I can. We do get quite a lot, so apologies if I don't reply to yours. But please do put some article submission ideas in there as well, and we'll try and cover as many of those different topics as possible. Because this podcast is not us simply presenting out a message. It's for you guys to learn and to develop your store as much as you can. So introductions to the show over. I'm going to introduce a very special guest we've got this week. This is week three of our very special series with Recharge, which is an amazing subscription app you can use on your Shopify store to then have subscriptions, so repeat orders coming in from your customers. Today's guest, his name's Stephen Tracy. He's also British, might I add, which is quite exciting for me. He's the founder of a Shopify store called Keep Candles. So without further ado, Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm actually based in the US, but yes, I am British by accent and origination.
Lovely stuff. Obviously flying the flag over in the US for us, which is always good news. Before we dive in, Stephen, we ask every guest, give us a little introduction to yourself. Tell us a bit about your background and also how you started Keep Candles.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one because there's not, I think, a clear path for anyone to become a candle maker, but mine definitely has some twists and turns. So yeah, I grew up in the UK and I studied at university. I studied science and thought I was going to become a naturalist. I really wanted to be the next David Attenborough, be spending time on safaris, you know, giving that lovely British accent to documentaries. But fate had another twist and I ended up working for Google. So a large tech company, which, you know, I'm sure I'll talk more about because it certainly informs some of the things that go into Keep. And that's what led me over to the US. And at a certain point, working in that world of technology, some deeper questions began to sort of surface in my life. And one of them was just this sense that there were certain moments in the week or in the day that felt really, really meaningful. And then certain things that felt sort of the opposite, things that left me feeling maybe a little more disconnected or almost empty. And a lot of the things that left me feeling really connected to life, really fulfilled, involved presence, involved, you know, being very aware of my surroundings. And something I noticed was that I was burning a lot of candles to sort of create that ambiance and environment when I got home from work or when I was having friends over for dinner. And it actually led to a conversation with a friend who was having the same sort of thoughts, the same feelings. And we started talking about, you know, how we were feeling less enamored by the world of technology and more enamored by this idea of life lived in the real world, not spending so much time on screens, and how we both use candles to sort of support that. And so it wasn't the initial thought that we were then going to start a candle company, but as these things happen, we sort of took our learnings from the world of technology and our understanding of the web and began to think, what happens if we started a candle company that focused on this idea of building a life full of connection, full of presence? And I would say that, you know, that's what led me to start Keep back in 2015.
Wow. And I say this quite a lot because quite a lot of the guests we get on, we try to get people on that are a little bit more passionate than just, I bought some stuff on Alibaba and tried to sell it, which was very much my approach years ago. And lo and behold, I ran out of passion for it and the whole project came to a halt and hasn't gone anywhere since. So yeah, it's nice to hear that actually there's a reason why you're running this, there's a story behind it, than quite simply just kind of diving in and saying, everybody loves candles, let's sell some of those. Because I imagine it must make you so much more connected to the product as well as connected to the customers as well, and starting to try to, which we're going to talk about a bit later anyway, but trying to understand their needs.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And something I try and keep in mind is, you know, there's something for everyone in this world. And I understand for some people, like you said, finding stuff in Alibaba, like that works. And that they find a lot of passion in that. But certainly for me and my business partner, and I think the people who connect with our candles and our way of doing business, it is about something more. It's about maybe like the topics we talk about around the candles. It's about maybe the approach that and the ethos that you can feel in the way that our product looks and feels. So there is definitely a deeper meaning behind what we're selling than just a focus on, yeah, like how many candles do we sell? That's not a question we necessarily is the number one question we're thinking about. But it's interesting because I think we're finding or have found in the 7 years since we started that, you know, people really deeply connect to the fact that we exist for more than the purpose of selling. And actually, I think that's been the reason we've been successful. So it's sort of, I think we approach things in a very human centric way.
Definitely, definitely. And I think we'll come on to some more of the sort of sensory side of things as well, because obviously, you know, candles have scents as well as, you know, the actual look of the thing. And I think it'd be interesting to kind of find out probably when we talk about how you guys are meeting customers where they are and how you're actually, you know, sort of getting inside your customers' heads to work out what to sell. It'd be really useful to touch on that. But I mean, we're in this series at the moment, we're talking about subscriptions. So where do subscriptions fit into your business model?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll already talk a little bit, I think, about meeting customers where they are, because one of the first things we did when starting the company was we sat down with roughly 100 people. We tried to make sure it wasn't friends. And we just asked people about their own relationships or experiences with candles. And you would think that, you know, how long are those conversations going to last? But they often turned into like hour-long conversations of people talking about how their parents introduced them, their mother, a friend, and how much they truly felt this like deep emotional connection to candles as a product, which was just really interesting for us. And then a lot of people began to talk about their usage and how they were, you know, they would use candles daily, weekly, and buy candles often, how they liked discovery and exploration. So very early on, we began to think about a subscription. I would say, you know, one thing I think is key to considering a subscription is just the fit of the idea of a subscription model for whatever you're trying to do, and being like understanding that it probably doesn't make sense for every single possible, you know, you're not going to do a subscription to a mattress, for example, because you only buy a mattress every so often. But when it came to the candles, I think it was definitely 2015 was the world was maybe definitely a little earlier in this whole kind of e-commerce tech, how people were thinking, you know, even Shopify and Recharge was something very early in their development. And subscriptions were still pretty new and you weren't seeing so many people understand that there was an opportunity there. And we just saw that with the fact that people were often using up candles and needing to go and buy a new one, there was actually just a really natural fit there for subscriptions to be at the heart of our business. So since 2015, we always thought about how does a subscription component sort of fit in with the broader idea of being an online focused brand and company. And then as time has gone on, we've actually found ourselves sort of leaning more and more into the subscription as we've really, I think, got to know the things that work well for us and also that our customers really care about.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think you've certainly chosen a good product when we're talking about subscriptions, because as you say, a lot of people do burn a lot of candles and have them around. And I know, you know, jumping the gun, I'm assuming one of the things you're going to tell me shortly as well is they're not just there to be lit and set on fire. You know, I appreciate as well, my wife's very much into candles and they let out a scent. So I guess one question, which I know is slightly off script to the subscriptions, but I think quite an important one. How do you guys try and bring all those different sensory things, you know, the smell, the sight, the feeling, etc., even the light that it gives out? How do you try and bring that to life on a web page? Because I imagine that's probably quite a difficult task, isn't it?
Yeah. I think there's certainly certain products that may have been easier to sell online. And we certainly had to think about that, you know, as part of, and I think especially with a subscription, you need to be mindful that you're asking people to make a commitment sort of upfront to you. And how do you get people to the point of trust where they're going to actually feel that that's a sensible decision, especially as a new company, when you don't have the benefit of previous, you know, any previous relationship with someone. So we thought a lot about that, and we decided, you know, I think that you can see different companies approach it in different ways, different scent companies. We decided to go with a strong creative writing. So we have poetry that tries to help evoke, you know, there's something in poetry that you can capture something maybe almost indescribable in a way that clever and really thoughtful placement of words and ideas can sort of paint a really rich picture. So we worked with a poet on describing each of the scents and the kind of worlds that we were trying to build with the scents. We also worked with a master perfumer on the fragrances so that we actually had really rich, beautiful fragrances to describe. You know, I think it can't just be all about thinking about the web piece. Like, we also spent a ton of time making sure that our candles were actually as good as any candle, if not obviously biased, but but better than, you know, the majority of candles. I'm always careful, realize that, again, candles are very personal, and we don't believe we're going to ever be the only candle on the market, but we certainly want to be one of the best and one that people can really feel happy buying for, you know, years on end. So yeah, we thought about the product, you know, sort of poetry on the website and certainly visuals, and just a really clean, sort of enticing layout of the site was key. And I'd say a final piece was that we also launched a sampling system. So we have a way that you can actually buy the miniature candles, try out the scents. And that was definitely inspired by some other companies. I don't know if there's a similar one in the UK, but in the US, there's a pretty well-known company called Warby Parker who do spectacles. And with them, you get to try 5 pairs of spectacles at home. They'll send you them in the mail. And so they were an early one where you could sort of try first and get to know a product. So yeah, we tried that with scent as well. And I think lowering that barrier a bit to just getting to know us was also, and continues to be, you know, a really helpful way. So thinking, again, I think it really comes down to just being empathetic to the fact, like, what is it like for someone to land on your site and be asked to make the commitment that you're asking them to make, and how can you make it easier for them to sort of take those next steps with you? So we try and keep that in mind.
Wow. I mean, I've got so many questions now, so I try and keep them as brief as we can, because we've only got so long, otherwise this will go on for sort of 2 or 3 hours. But I mean, first of all, you mentioned you work with a poet, and you also got a master perfumer as well in to come and help you actually develop the product, develop the content for the website.
Yeah.
So I guess my big question is, how did you come up with those kind of ideas? Because I reckon there's people sitting there listening and going, oh, that's genius, I'll do that. But obviously you were probably the first one to do some of those things. You mentioned obviously the example of glasses, you know, try before you buy for the sampling. But how did you come up with some of these creatives? Like, I assume it can't have just been on the fly and suddenly like, do you know what? We should just do this. And you kind of come up with a genius idea.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I'm trying to cast myself back to 2015.
Sorry.
You know, I think we had it. So it was me and my business partner. So it was not just me, but we continue to work very, very closely together, and we're almost like symbiotic minds. I think we knew that we wanted our product to just be something more than just another like private label, or as you said, like Alibaba, sort of a product that maybe you can just source. And I think that was very important to us, because we wanted parts of the product to speak to these, I think it goes back to the meaning behind the product, that it was going to be hard for us to talk about meaning if the product itself didn't actually have thought behind it. So we spent the best part of the first year after leaving our jobs without actually much of a business plan. And, you know, we didn't sell anything for that first year. We were really in product development. We actually launched via a Kickstarter, and it was a lot of, I can now say, it was like a lot of smoke and mirrors, in that we had some candles in the Kickstarter video, but they didn't have scent in them. You know, we didn't even have the scents yet, but we were talking about the scents.
Yeah.
And we knew that we wanted the product and the experience to really stand apart. So I think we were just very clear on that mattered to us. And so we were very invested in trying to think of these ideas and invest the time and the energy into finding, you know, solutions to these questions that you're asking. Like, how do you make it a really beautiful, enticing experience. Whereas, you know, there are other ways. I think you could say like, it's going to be all about price. And then if you're selling a product, you could just be like, we're going to try and find something, source it cheaply, sell it cheaply. And that can be in its own way, a legitimate business model. Again, it comes back to meaning. Like this, we started Keep because we were really feeling something, I think, like almost like a human truth about the world we're living in, the time we're living through, this time of intense technological connection that is almost leading us to feel somehow more disconnected in our lives. And we really wanted Keep to sort of be a vessel, you know, the product to be a vessel for that sort of idea of reconnecting. So yeah, I think it all kind of flowed naturally from that, if I'm honest.
I mean, we've certainly had it with clients before. We're trying to come up with marketing campaigns, or, you know, the client's sort of saying, is there any SEO data to support what we should sell next? You know, very typical questions that we get. And I think it's quite interesting just trying to work out, you know, sort of get inside your or anybody's head to say what led to that kind of, you know, brain kind of wave moment that was just sort of, okay, we're now going to do this. But I guess what you've just described, I think is really interesting, actually, is a very deep rooted, embedded culture between, certainly between you and your business partner, where you guys have a clear vision, you have a mission, and then it starts to flow from there. And I think that's what so many stores sort of miss out on. I think, you know, Alibaba is a great example. And not, again, disclaimer, nothing against Alibaba. It's a great place to source products. There's some phenomenal people on there making some incredible things that you can order in bulk, etc. But I do feel like that it's just too easy to kind of add stuff to cart, upload some logo you've made on Photoshop in 10 minutes. And suddenly, which is literally what we did, we're now selling sunglasses, you know, and that was it. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that you guys have an actual mission, that you've connected with your customers and gone, okay, people like candles. What is it about them they like? They like the look of them. They like the way they burn. They like the scent that's involved. Actually, this can be a real luxury item. It's a great present. And you've got creative with that, which then leads down the road of, you know, the way you're describing the candle itself is almost poetry. So why not get a poet to do it? I think it's certainly very, very interesting. And I guess that then flows through to your customers, doesn't it? And I guess one big question is, how do you create long-term relationship with your customers through that? You know, is that simply by you just provide a good candle and they come back? Or, you know, I'm assuming the answer is yes. Is there more to it?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it comes down not actually, like, first and foremost, not to the technology. Like, to me, the technology are like tools for enabling, you know, more real things. Like, and so I remember when we were starting, we talked a lot about what were the businesses that we felt, you know, truly like deep connection to, and the kind of experiences. And a lot of them actually that came up for us were food related, and thinking about maybe a restaurant where you could walk in and you genuinely felt welcomed by someone who recognized you, who then might give you like a free glass of wine on the house. Or, you know, almost like mythically, we thought about like the idea of the old, you know, an old high street with butchers and bakers, and that idea that you would go into a shop and actually be treated as a valued customer. And, you know, the butcher, you order your meat for the week, say, and then the butcher throws in an extra bit because you come every week and you're a great customer. And again, I think coming back to like this world we live in, these times we live in, we feel like a lot of e-commerce and also the real world businesses now have sort of lost a bit of that. I didn't talk a lot about it, but, you know, at Google, I worked extensively with data, and I think I saw from the inside how this focus on understanding everything from a data centric point of view actually begins to depersonalize the world and make it sort of feel less fun to live in. And so we were really like, how do we bring that back in the way that we run this business? So it started with like a very like, we weren't looking at tools and think about that. And so we were like, you know, we would really respect customers who come back to us. We would show them how much we're grateful for their business. We would try and make it easy for them to come back. So these were the types of conversations we're having, you know, which again led us to think, okay, well, we could definitely have a subscription. However, as we then maybe thought about the subscription, some things became very clear to us, which is like, you don't, when we're thinking about this more relationship and long-term, you know, how to build a long-term relationship, I don't believe, and we didn't believe, you do that by locking people in. To me, like, a lock-in is actually shows you don't have confidence in what you are offering someone. So we were like, we won't lock people in. We want a highly flexible, if we're going to do a subscription, we want it to be highly, highly flexible. And then really the onus is on us to make it such a great experience that you don't want to cancel. So we spend most of our time still like trying to talk to our customers, getting feedback from our customers, thinking about how can we continue every few months, every year to have a plan that means we're better than we were before, more enjoyable than we were before. And honestly, like the metrics follow in terms of the ones that most people then think about, you know, on in terms of growth, in terms of you're thinking more subscription centrically, like in terms of retention, like people staying with you.
Yeah.
I think by treating people well, those things tend to follow. So yeah, that those are some of the things, you know, that as we've thought about building long-term relationships, it really comes down to, I think, again, coming at that from like a very human level.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, if I was to take one kind of really big statement from what you just said, I think it's definitely the one of like locking people in shows lack of confidence. To just offer a good product, I say just, it's really difficult, you know, offer a good product, offer a good service. And I guess a big question is how do you therefore reward your customers for loyalty? Like, do you have a loyalty scheme? Do you just put the odd favorite, you know, sort of freebie in there just to say, this is a freebie because, you know, you've made 5 orders with us now? Or, you know, how do you guys manage that?
Yeah, you know, there are definitely loyalty apps, and I've been our kind of technological lead ever since we started. So I'm pretty knowledgeable about the Shopify ecosystem and Recharge is pretty great at integrations with a lot of the most common things. That said, we actually don't use a loyalty app, and that really came about because I think, again, I'm just going to keep repeating myself, but
yeah,
you know, some of the apps, you know, a lot of them are built around points and things like that. And there are points programs that I think when I was in the UK, you know, I definitely had like a Tesco value card or whatever they were called. I think about those and I think about how do I actually feel about those things. And it doesn't make me, yeah, I take advantage of it. Sure. Like, who doesn't want points, but it doesn't actually make me feel that Tesco values me. Like, it doesn't. So I think we just came at it from like, we could do that. Sure. But that's not really thanking someone for their loyalty. It's really like, it's a tactic that can maybe slightly change the needle on loyalty. But us, like the way that we then have come to think about loyalty is much more, again, just like at the human level. So we handwrite notes in every single package, and we do all our shipping in-house, which is not common. But one of the reasons we chose to prioritize that is that our shipping team actually like recognize a lot of the names of people who are ordering from us regularly. And they'll sometimes like tailor the notes and, you know, notice the address and be like, you know, I hope everything's going well down with you in Texas. Like, I saw that there was a heat wave recently. I hope you're staying cool. Have a great rest of the month. So we try and tailor little notes to our customers. We do have a few ways that after someone has been with us a certain amount of time, we get alerted to it, and we will do little, you know, thank you notes. Again, it could be as simple as just a handwritten note, which I think, again, in this day and age, we forget the value of just being recognized. With just someone saying like, you know, I see you, I appreciate you. But sometimes we'll say, hey, you know, we want to give you a little gift. And so we do these a little more, I would say they feel a bit more like high touch. They're maybe a little more laborious on our side because it's not just technology. Technology can make everything invisible. Like, you know, it's all just working behind the scenes. And it definitely puts a bit more onus on us to have to put some effort in to make it work. But for us, like it really does build the relationship. And I think to give myself and us a pat on the back, I think we have a community of people who buy from us who feel vastly more connected to us as an online business, which I think is challenging because you don't, you know, it's beyond the product that arrives at people's doors, but they don't get to visit us. They don't get to physically meet us, or at least not very often. But I think people feel actually like a very deep sense of relationship with us. And I think that to me is like the foundation of a business that we want to exist for a long time. And that's, again, always been part of the way we thought about Keep, is that, you know, we're here, we want to be around in 10 years time. If this is rooted in meaning, then why would we want that meaning to sort of have a lifespan on it? So
yeah, definitely. And I think it's a really important point you've just raised, actually, about you've only got so many, as an e-commerce business, you've only got so many opportunities actually to engage with a customer. So you best get it right. I mean, you just mentioned they don't physically come to you. It's not like your local butcher in the sense you don't actually go in, you don't see a familiar face. And, you know, like my local bakery, I went in a while ago when we're all having to still wear masks in the UK, and I had a mask with a, and I hope this doesn't lose half our listenership, but I was wearing a Chelsea Football Club mask because somebody bought me one for my birthday. And I went in and the guy in the bakery said, "You've been coming here for years. And if I'd known you're a Chelsea fan, I would have kicked you straight out." You know, and from that moment onwards, every time I go into the local bakery, we talk about football, but you don't have that as an e-commerce business. You don't have that same face-to-face conversation. So what it sounds like you're doing, that I think you guys are obviously doing it very, very well with your handwritten notes and a whole range of other things, is those limited moments you do actually get to interact with a customer. It sounds to me like you're just grabbing it by the horns and making that interaction as good as possible. As you say, they don't want to cancel. And I mean, have you ever looked at it that way, just in terms of going, you know, those are the points they get an email from us, they receive a product, that they send in a, you know, make another order, therefore the website, you know, if you sort of sat down and looked at all the different touch points and just tried to optimize them as best as possible to give them the best customer experience?
No, I wouldn't say we've ever been that analytical about it. But in terms of, I mean, you could definitely do that. But I almost feel like, yes, it does. It does help cancellations prevent cancellations. But again, like it really doesn't feel like that's our primary motivation. Like I genuinely just want to make sure that when we have that interaction, that we see it as a chance to make someone's day a little brighter. And there's always that, you know, every single, I'll give an example. We work, I don't know if you've ever heard people talk about a customer support tool called Gorgeous. It's like G-O-R-G-I-S.
One of our sponsors. yes, they've been on the podcast.
So yeah, we've been with them since they were like very, very early. And one of the reasons why was they integrated nicely with Recharge and Shopify. So it was pretty great. Nice to have like some data flowing through and sort of have visibility of information as people were contacting us. But in there, every single time someone contacts us, you know, it definitely is something where we view, even if it's as simple as, you know, hey, I didn't get my tracking email yet. We could easily view that just as a chance to be like, here's your tracking number, you know, case closed, done. But we take the time to not just provide the information, but to also just say like, you know, and it seems so trite, but I think when you actually care about it and, you know, the person and the people who do this for us, I've made sure that they understand like this is not, it's not just saying like, have a nice day, you know, and repeating that. It's actually being curious enough about the person to pay attention. So it might just a made up example is, it might be like, here's your tracking number. By the way, I noticed it's a gift. It looks like it's arriving by Thursday, but because it's a gift, I wanted to check that makes sense for you. I know how important getting a gift on time is. And people will just be like, oh, that's great, but thank you so much for noticing that and paying attention. You know, it's like these little opportunities to show that we're actually, we care. And so, yeah, or someone who's ordered from us many times, we might be like, here's your tracking number. Like, by the way, like I saw that you've ordered this scent 4 times. Like, I take it you really like it. That means a lot to us. Thank you. And yeah, it feels good to us to do that because we get really lovely responses back. But I think it all creates just like a, it ultimately leads, it's just like more fun to run the business. It's more fun for us to have conversations with our customers. And then back to the point you were making, yeah, I believe it does help us have lower cancellations, but we're not, it really isn't rooted in like a tactical sense of how can we reduce cancellations? Yeah. Oh, let's be nice to people. This is much more like, no, let's be nice to people because it's the right thing to do. And I trust that human nature is that when people are nice to you, like you want to be nice back to them. And part of that with you know, business sense is you're going to support them with your business. Like you're not going to go back to that bakery. I'm surprised you went back after he talked down your football team, but
it was all jesting and good banter.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I absolutely love about that is I think if the business is operating badly, I mean, given the world we live in right now, it could be even minutes or hours before you're found out, it's public, no one buys from you again. So I think actually setting out to be a, you know, as you say, have good interactions and actually just enjoy life. You know, like it could be quite mundane. And I certainly know from working in e-commerce for so long, so many businesses, they feel like every interaction with a customer is just, you're basically just staring down a massive long queue of complaints and you're just dealing with those guys, trying to turn them around, trying not to let them cancel. And your remit is not to enjoy your day. It's not to even make the customer happy. It's just don't lose the e-com store any money. And I think the way you guys are approaching it is just so, it's so refreshing to hear, which I imagine almost every interaction then is like, we want to talk to these customers, you know, like, oh, look, an email from a customer. What has this guy said? You know, let's have a look. And actually it's almost a positive thing, which could be so negative.
And you also see things, I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the interactions we then have where people, I mean, I think back mainly to the pandemic, actually, which just because it still sticks in my mind, where we had people emailing us saying, hey, I saw you charged my card this month. I don't want you to ship me anything because I realize right now, you know, you could use the extra revenue and I don't need the product right now.
Wow.
And, you know, it was unbelievable to me that people were, it was like they were looking out for us. And I think that, you know, that is not, yeah, that seems to me to be a rare thing that, especially as an e-commerce business, that your customers would actually be looking out for you and thinking about your needs. And I think that really comes from the fact that we've been very consistent, you know, it has taken time. It's not like you start doing this day one and then suddenly people feel connected to you. It's that we've been consistent. It's also consistent in the way that we try and do other things, that we're very transparent about. If we're having issues, we tend to publish it pretty quickly as an email and a blog post, and we let people in on it. We tell them, you know, everything from like, you know, two of our team are sick with COVID. So, you know, this is the photo of our production studio right now. Nothing's happening, through to like, you know, just if we've had delays in raw materials. We can't make this scent. We try and put it out there and give people the right information so they don't get frustrated with us. And I think it's a very respectful relationship ensues where we respect our customers and they respect us back. Again, from my point of view, like we wanted when we started Keep to figure out the answer to that question. Like, how do we have careers and how do we do work, but actually, you know, create a life that's full of meaning and is enjoyable at the same time. And we sometimes have made missteps for sure and realize we're doing things that are not causing us a lot of joy. And I don't want to keep trying to derailing questions you're having and taking them off on tangents, but one example we actually got off social media a year and a half ago. Yeah.
So I saw the link in your footer and I thought that's an interesting story. And when you started straight away saying you used to work for Google. But yeah. Tell us why that, you know, sort of how that happened and what was behind that.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I guess it's kind of what I was about to continue to say, which is that I feel like I have to be very careful because to frame that it was very much like a decision that made sense for us as a company, for us as people running and working within the company, partly because of the meaning we stand for. And I know there are like many companies who have figured, you know, who operate primarily on social media, who can't imagine getting off it. I think it's more just a question or something that I think my desire would be for people to reflect maybe on what social media means to them and to come to their own conclusions. We realized that we were not getting joy from social media. I mean, the promise of social media, I get, you know, connected to people, getting to discover things that you might never have discovered, like that all feels great. But the reality of social media, and it's perhaps because of having a bit more of a window into the world of tech with my background, was, as I saw it, you know, algorithms that were burying your content unless you played by rules that were constantly changing on the platforms, a sense of a community, but a community that you didn't necessarily have actually the ability to communicate to because of those things. You were very much seeing as a business that you were being pushed more and more to pay to play. So, you know, we had built not a huge, but like a decent following on, particularly on Instagram, but our post reach was not even 1% of our audience. And, you know, we were having to think about investing advertising. So it's sort of like, what is the benefit of this? What are we getting from this? And then just asking ourselves, like, are we enjoying this? And so we were posting often and thinking about what we needed to be putting there and trying to respond, you know, as they were releasing stories and then reels and all these things. Just it felt like a conveyor belt and it wasn't fun. And I think that was like the simple thing when we could just say to ourselves, this isn't fun. We're not enjoying this. Maybe part of that was like, I know that it wasn't driving our business, and that may have been reflective of the fact that we weren't having fun, and so we were not maybe investing it or doing it in ways that led to people really feeling resonance with our social media presence. But for whatever reason, we weren't having fun. It wasn't a huge driver of our business. And coming back to that idea of like, what is the purpose of all this anyway? And we're like, we're not here to grow a social media following. We're here to build a life built around connection, to enjoy building a company, to try and, you know, actually make a difference in our customers' lives by helping them find deeper connection. And it didn't feel like social media was the answer at all. So it actually became a very simple decision where we just said, okay, let's shut it down. Let's take the time and the energy and see what else we can do with it. And that was in early 2021. And we've just not really looked back since then, and definitely get asked a lot, you know, do we regret it, or do we, you know, how have things been? And the honest answer is just that we're working on so many other things now that I don't even think about it. Like, it was fun to think about what else we could be doing instead. And as we identified those things, like, there's plenty to be keeping us busy that doesn't involve social media now and that's working for us. So again, something for people to reflect on, you know, like, what else could you be doing if you weren't investing time in social media? And especially if you think about the relationships you're building, like, how could you be doing that in ways that might feel more meaningful to the customers that you have, you know? And it's everything from, like, you could be running a podcast, you could be creating YouTube videos, you could be jumping on the phone with some of your customers and speaking with them. There are, like, all these things we kind of forgot that you can do because we're so focused now on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. And that takes a lot of time, you know, it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. And then it saps our creativity because you're stuck within the confines of those platforms.
I think it's a really interesting move. And I certainly know there are so many, you know, we're very guilty of it. You know, where we're based, we work a lot on PPC and SEO. You know, we totally rely on Google as a business. But I know a lot of other businesses are, you know, some are thriving on it because they go in two-footed. They do it really well. They do it heavily. They invest time. They get everything in place. But if you're not able to do that, then why, you know, why bother? And so it kind of leads me on to two other questions, really. And we'll call it one question with two parts. How do customers therefore find you, specifically new customers? And then, because this might be the same channel, for example, or the same activity, how do you communicate with customers most of the time then without those social channels in place?
Yeah, so in terms of discovery, we have various types of partnerships that have worked really well for us. So they're more relationship oriented than, and, you know, they're things that I think companies and people have been doing for years, which is finding like-minded folks to work with where you both have things you are trying to do and you find ways to make it work together. So, you know, we do brand partnerships, so working with other brands and find ways to meet our needs and their needs. But we make sure that they're like good fits in terms of there's like a reason. It might be that we've started life in Brooklyn. We're now based up in what's called the Hudson Valley, which is about 2 hours north of New York City. It's like unbelievably beautiful. There are bears. It's like not what people expect so close to New York City. And there are just tons of really great businesses doing all sorts of things, you know, between Brooklyn and the Hudson Valley. So, you know, we'll work with them and find ways to get in front of each other's audiences. We've also worked with a lot of retail stores and places like spas, restaurants, who actually get our products out into the world. And we do know that one of the main ways that people find us and discover us is just through the smell. So also our existing customers, like, are a huge point of discovery. And back to the way we treat people. I remember reading a book. It's going to come to me what it's called, but it was a book about the way ideas spread. And one of the things that really stuck out in that was just it was written in the last 10 years, was even in this modern world where we think that so much spreads through social media, when actually they looked at, you know, how ideas spread, the number one most important way was still through conversations. So around dinner tables, maybe like through private, you know, I think that may have included like private text messages, but most people were like, you know, the thing that influenced me was a friend telling me at a dinner table, like, oh, have you tried this thing? Have you seen this thing? So, you know, we definitely get the benefit of the fact that our customers like us, that they talk about us, that we give them reasons to think about us by the way we treat them. Yeah. And in the sense, you know, might be burning in the bathroom. So you get the double whammy of someone talking about us at the dinner table, and then you go to their bathroom. So those are just, you know, some of the ways we grow. And then in terms of communicating, we're very invested in our newsletter. So I think newsletter, the thing I like about a newsletter is you you sort of do own that relationship. Like someone has given us permission to send them an email and we're very respectful of that. We don't, you know, we try and have a very clear calendar and our emails are very more story focused than just like product and sales focused, but we certainly integrate, you know, little commercial things here and there, but try and think about the newsletter like as something that's informative and valuable and educational. And then we're actually looking more and more, and it's like a space that really interests me. There are lots of things that have kind of cropped up in just the last year or two around building community online, but we're kind of like private communities. So there's a platform called Circle that allows you to do this. It's like, I think it's circle.so, but it allows you to effectively build a social media like, I mean, it seems very like social media when you're in it, except that you, the community is owned and built by whoever builds it. So it could be that you could have one for this podcast, and we as a company could have one for ourselves. And I like that because, you know, social media platforms, ultimately the rules are controlled by, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and his boardroom or whoever the social media platform is. And I like that some of these newer platforms are saying, actually, like, no, you own the community space. You make the decisions and you can figure out what's best for you and your community, because that's felt like not very true, I think, in the past. So that's an interesting future place of communication, I think, is like how we actually build online communities that are really healthy and really fun to be part of and sort of don't descend into some of the things we've seen happen before.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I've certainly seen the rise of advertising, and I'm a bit of a hypocrite in saying this because I, you know, run a business that manages advertising for people, but certainly on platforms like YouTube is probably the worst, I think, now, where YouTube and Instagram, where you're trying to consume content and a lot of the time you're actually trying to communicate with your mates, you know, and sort of see, oh, my friend's been on holiday. Let's have a look at some of the pictures. And you're watching the stories and suddenly there's a load of adverts in there or YouTube, which I guess if you still compare it to TV, it's, you know, it's absolutely fine in terms of the volume of them, but it's the way they've sort of slowly progressed and people have definitely noticed that and not engaged on those platforms as much, which then you as a brand, you want to engage people. So if you're on the wrong platform, you're instantly putting yourselves at a disadvantage. So yeah, so no, completely hear that. And I think it's what I love as well is none of your answers have been in silo. There's clearly a culture, a vision and a mission behind what you guys are doing. And it's almost like every decision then flows out from that. So should we be on social media? That's not really us. You know, should we run loads of adverts on Google? No, that's not really us either. That's not the message we're trying to convey here. You know, the more you focus on the product, the more people will talk about it. And it's obviously working for you guys. And I think certainly, you know, lesson learned to all our listeners is get a decent product, communicate with your customers properly, you know, and put the time and energy in and you'll reap the rewards, which I think is, yeah, in a good way, it's nothing new, which is always reassuring.
Yeah, I would say, you know, just to put it in my own words, but I totally agree with what you're saying, is there are just so many ways for a business to be successful. And I think the more important question for any business owner, founder, is like, what type of business is going to make you want to continue like doing it, you know, is going to bring you joy? Because I think, you know, you're going to spend a lot of time and energy for sure doing this thing. And I think it comes through and like when you are enjoying the work you do, I think, again, that's like an unquantifiable aspect to success, but it kind of will come through in the ways that people will end up supporting you. So yeah, I think it's more, it's like that idea of like, don't just follow blueprints because they're blueprints. Like I think having the self-awareness of understanding, you know, what you're looking for out of it and sort of what you're trying to achieve is a really important part. And then figuring out what makes sense based on that, I think you will find success that way too. And so I definitely feel we like to think of ourselves as a little like counter to some of the things and a proof point that you don't have to just follow all the standard ways of doing things, especially if you're finding that they're not working for you or just not, you know, they're not resonating with you for any reason. So, you know, that's been part of our journey for sure.
And ironically, I mean, I've been working on Google for 15 years now. And, you know, I find it slightly ironic that actually the best products that sell are the ones that are just good. And when I say just good, it's like, you know, there's a clear reason to buy it. There's energy and time put behind it. It's not just something that's been, you know, crafted from a mold of plastic and chucked on a shelf and we're trying to overcharge you for it. Definitely the stores that have always worked best, the ones that have a story behind them, there's a clear reason to buy. And the product, you know, I've been sort of clicking around your website while we've been talking, and there's clearly a very obvious and conscious value add to it, so that you're not just buying a candle this is a community. And I think even some of the pictures you've got on, you know, I love that you call it the love letter reviews page. The photo at the top is from, I'm assuming it's one of your customers. You know, there's an @ person on there to say this has actually been sent in to us. It's not something we've just grabbed off iStock and, you know, and hope for the best. So yeah. I think it's all really useful stuff actually. And as you say, quite counter actually to what we normally talk about in the podcast. So yeah, really good. Cool. Well, it's been great having you on. As a lot of our listeners will probably have seen in the description, you guys have got an offer, which is always, you know, always welcome on here. 10% off if you use the code WINNING on their site, which is keepbk.com, which is KEAPBK.com/subscribe to check out the subscriptions. So go and check out those. You get 10% off any subscription with that code. But yeah, Stephen, thank you so much for your time. Amazing to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. And yeah, look forward to speaking again soon, hopefully in future.
Awesome. Well, we'll certainly keep you on the list as we do with all guests. And for everybody else listening in, next week we've got next episode in from Recharge as well. So make sure you tune in for that. And as I said right at the start, if you haven't subscribed yet, please do hit the subscribe button, drop us a little review on whatever podcasting platform you're listening to this on. So thanks for being with us today. Back again next week.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can subscribe to our weekly newsletter for exclusive offers at winningwithshopify.com. And don't forget to check out our Facebook group by searching for Winning with Shopify on Facebook. Over and out.